Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into Native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
This is Chinook Patterns. I'm Paula Schiller. The Sea Alaska Regional Corporation has made national news by getting on the list of the Fortune magazine's top 1,000 companies. That's an important list to be on, and Sea Alaska placed 951st, with corporation assets reported at $280 million. Sea Alaska has proven financially successful, but Board Chairman Byron Malott says the money isn't everything.
It's perfectly understandable, certainly, but it's been a little bit bothersome at times when people tend to equate the strength and success of Native corporations with strength and success of Native people. And while I think that there certainly is a relationship there, it's also an area in which we need to make some pretty clear distinctions. And I think one of the major distinctions that I think is important is that the Alaska Native corporations themselves are tools of Native people. They're a means and not an end. And so, as I said, it's important and necessary for shareholders to be concerned about the corporations and how they conduct their business and how corporations impact shareholders' lives. And it's hugely important to the corporations also, because shareholders are the owners of the corporations, and essentially they can do what they will with those corporations. And the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act built in essentially a date at which time shareholders of Native corporations will demonstrate in a very visible and fundamental way their confidence or lack thereof in Native corporations. And that date is December 18, 1991, at which time the stock held in Native corporations will be able to be sold and marketed freely. But one of the things that concerns me is that Native people must not allow corporations to become substitutes for all of those institutions that they have relied on or been forced to rely upon, both economically and socially, for at least the last three or four generations. The Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act was essentially a terminationist piece of legislation. But in addition to terminating Native people in Alaska, they let us keep a life jacket or two. And those life-saving devices were the 44 million acres of land and the $1 billion in the corporations that were established. But beyond that, the Claims Act essentially said, do with these what you will. We aren't going to determine how you use them. We aren't going to determine whether they fail or whether they are profitable. We aren't going to determine whether they become economic institutions in the way that Business America normally operates. We aren't going to make the judgments about whether you survive as a Native people. You're going to make those judgments. And the corporations that were created are just one small aspect of that total issue. And while it's, I think, appropriate to point out that the society in which we live respects, and as a matter of fact, seems almost slavish to economic power, and that these corporations, if we use them properly, will have that, that the real question that was posed in 1971 was, what are you folks going to do about yourselves? Are you going to survive as a racially identifiable people? Are you going to be able to coalesce your interests in such a way that those things that are important to you are going to survive, that you will be able to maintain them and enhance them and pass them on to generations yet to come of your people? And if you are, how are you going to do that? At the same time, and I think it's historically pretty true, the odds against us answering those questions in any positive way are pretty high. The odds against us are pretty high. And so when we look at Native corporations, their economic survival is hugely important. And corporate leaders for the last decade have concentrated on that aspect. And that's caused some consternation among Native people that are generally more concerned about other kinds of survival issues. But I think that the decade of the 1980s will see a shift in the visible concerns of Native corporations, at least the regional corporations, to a more broad sense of concern for Native issues as opposed to corporate survival kinds of issues. Because with the exception of just one regional corporation, most of the regional corporations have developed a pretty good sense of their economic base. They've developed a sense of corporate purpose. They know what kinds of businesses that they're going to be in. They know where their resources are. They've got a good sense of the kind of management that's going to be required to meet corporate goals. They've got a fairly good sense of what shareholders expect of them, and they're able to focus now, again, in the decade of the 80s, on their future, as opposed to from about 1976 on the issues of the sheer survival and establishment of Native corporations. And before 1976, there really wasn't much that could be done by way of business development of Native corporations. And I'll just cite one example. Until 1979, Sea Alaska Corporation did not get a title to a single acre of our lands. And so in terms of utilizing the largest of our resources, the largest of our economic resources, we didn't have the ability to be essentially a resource-based business corporation, which all of the Native corporations are going to be. Sea Alaska, just to give you a quick profile, has gone from, and I think while we may be on the extreme upper end at this point, we're not atypical, I think, of the future of Native corporations, regional corporations. Sea Alaska in 1978 had revenues of about $12 million, was losing money, lost over $1 million in that year, I think, Joe. We had tremendous land selection costs. We did not have the kind of management, business management, that was necessary or even appropriate at that time for the conduct of our business affairs, because we had to focus so much on the implementation aspects of the Claim Settlement Act, getting our lands, fighting with the government over questions of the implementation. To 1979, Sea Alaska with revenues of about $15 million, a profit of about $500,000, a year in which we put the implementation phase of ANCSA behind us, essentially title to all of our resources, essentially receive most of the Native Fund payments, had determined the kinds of businesses that we wanted to be in for the long-term future, and had begun to put the business management in place that was necessary to meet the goals that had been established. 1980C Alaska will be a corporation with revenues of about $120 million, profits of several millions, a year in which the corporation developed programs outside of our business structure to deal with shareholder concerns, established Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation, establishing an intern program for shareholders, establishing a shareholder scholarship program, developed an elders conference to begin to deal with cultural and heritage preservation issues on behalf of shareholders, a year in which the corporation spent more time on refining as opposed to adding the business elements of the corporation, a year in which we can begin the forecast for a number of years ahead, the kinds of revenues and profits, barring unforeseen circumstances, that we as a region can expect. And we forecast that within 2 years, for example, Sea Alaska will be a corporation in the neighborhood of revenues of $250 million, and hopefully a substantial increase in the net profits of the corporation. And I note that because if the philosophy of the corporation, the people in it, is that the corporation is a tool, the business of the corporation is a tool to meet other much more broad and fundamental obligations, we now reach the point where we have breathing time and the essentially almost survival requirements of putting the business together are behind us. That's not to say that everything is rosy for the future, certainly. But at least corporations like Sea Alaska are in a position now to step back and begin to evaluate and plan for the much more broad responsibilities of the corporation and bring competent, trained, professional people in to manage the business affairs of the corporation. And I see that as a trend among all regional corporations. I don't see Sea Alaska as substantially, as I said earlier, too much out of the profile of all Native regional corporations, although we've grown much faster. There are a number of corporations that ultimately will be much larger than Sea Alaska in terms of the revenue base and their profitability. Sea Alaska right now is among the very largest, excluding the oil companies, of Alaskan corporations. And among other things, when you reach that level, you begin to look at, as I said earlier, all of the much more broad corporate obligations and begin to make judgments about how you can utilize whatever residual strength you have from that economic base and how you apply that on behalf of shareholders and influencing things like public policy. So it's a fairly critical time in the life of a corporation like Sea Alaska, and more importantly, I think it's a pretty critical time in the life of Alaska's Native people, because what is being developed on the one hand is an economic tool that can influence social and public policy. On the other hand, we get very compelling indications that you've got a Native group that is very concerned about its future, that is ambivalent about the role of the corporations, and are pretty close to a point at which they will be making substantial demands on the corporation, both on the economic side and on the other Native survival side. And at least at Sea Alaska, we think that we've developed to the point where we can be reasonably responsible and responsive in both areas to our shareholders.
Sea Alaska Board Chairman Byron Malott spoke at a Native Studies seminar this spring. I'm Paula Schiller, and this is Chinook, a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.